Why? Okay, Darth Vader makes his cookies out of Wookiee meat because they're nice and warm and chewy.
I like that one. That was good. That's a good one to start with.
Oh my god!
Welcome back to Tiny Table 3, the podcast, everybody. It's great to be back. We're going to try to do these bi-weekly as soon as we possibly can get that going again. Our regular host, Cloud City, is very busy with lots of different life challenges, I guess the best way to say it.
Chapters?
Yeah.
She's getting married. I don't think that's a challenge. It's more just a thing.
She's working for a large
she's
studio.
She's choosing to go the route of unable to fulfill her duties here. So we're probably going to fire her,
just,
I think.
You're just being a dick because you can't because that's your sister. You can do that. So this is Tiny Table 3, where we do our nerd discussion. We have our three segments: Naked Wrestling, our Nerd Argument, our Weekly Wrap-Up, and then we usually alternate between The Right Game and Nerd Mixtape. This week we'll be doing The Right Game and covering Westworld. Our Naked Wrestling will be discussing superheroes and the Christmas presents you need to buy for them. And we cover...
It's
gay. One of the best Naked Wrestling segments I think we have ever done. It really is. There's a lot of polishing going on.
I apologize for the imagery you're about to receive.
and then obviously the weekly wrap-up was mostly focused on TV because we got a really great finale for Westworld. We got to see the combining of the CW superhero.
Oh yeah.
And we got to see some great mid-season Christmas episodes
and a shit ton of movie trailers
So thanks for joining us. Hang out for the next 45 50 minutes or so for our nerd conversation.
But it's late.
This is Stacks. You can find me at Small Stack, which is my Twitter handle. You can also find me at smallstack_tt3 on Instagram, and of course at tinytable3.com. In the studio today, we have
let's
go.
Hey guys, this is Jeff Gould, aka at the Gould member. You can read my articles on tinytable3.com, watch my videos on the YouTube channel with all these guys here, and sorry, I didn't know how to end that.
Who's the grumpy bastard sitting next to you?
Yeah, this is Milo. You might not hear me that much in this podcast because I don't know what the fuck is going on. I don't watch any of the shows, and I'm at Night Train 465 on Instagram, at Milito's Guitar on Twitter, and I recently got tweeted back at by Duff McKagan's wife, which is pretty cool. So I'm moving up in the world, I think, a little bit there. I don't know.
That's how you know you made it.
It's just neat. I write articles every now and again, probably not as often as Jeff over here.
Do more.
And I'm always on the YouTube videos. I'm pretty much like the bedrock foundation of this whole thing.
No, that's not true at all. Not even a little
bit.
Probably
got
all
the, right. You, all right. I don't know.
I have the participation trophy.
You're kind of like the earthquake part of the foundation.
you're the Nicolas Cage of Tiny Table 3. You're just in everything, but you're not that talented.
Oh man.
I'm just kidding.
That was rough.
Actually, I'm more like the Johnny Depp where I stuck to one character and just done it for the next 10 years.
That's pretty solid. That's pretty good.
I'm going to piss off some people. Okay, now I got to tweet at Johnny Depp and see what happens.
Okay, well, let's get into this podcast, everyone. Welcome to Tiny Table 3. We're glad to be back with the podcast, and look for us more often for sure. Thank you, Jeff and Milo, for joining us, and let's do this shit.
Yeah,
boy.
Walking on sunshine.
Whoa.
Yeah. Don't it feel good?
Okay, I think we're good to go.
All right.
Ready?
Yeah.
Naked Wrestling.
I have a cough. When you do stuff like that, it makes me cough.
When I say naked?
Yes.
It makes you go?
Naked.
It's not like I told you to, drop trowel and turn your head.
Yeah. All right. That got really scientific.
Oh, God, that got graphic.
Everybody get uncomfortable right there for a second?
Hey, yeah. I did.
Well, let's
move past this transition.
All right, guys. Hey,
we're getting into our first segment of our Tiny Table 3 podcast, which is our nerd wrestling segment, where we have our weekly or bi-weekly nerd argument. Our nerd argument this week is geared towards the holiday celebration.
Halloween, everyone.
Feliz cumpleaños.
It's not Halloween.
I mean, not cumpleaños. Navidad. Damn it.
Cumpleaños. Fuck.
He said his own
all
thing.
All of our Spanish listeners just fucking...
So tell us about your birthday, man. Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, kid.
Feliz cumpleaños, Jesus.
Wow, racist, dude. I'm Mexican, by the way, and I'm extremely offended.
This week we are talking about if you had to give a Christmas gift to your favorite superhero, what would you put on that list of Christmas gifts? What would you get them? I think first we have to have a more important conversation first, which is who's all celebrating Christmas?
Well, that's true. This is the heroes, you mean?
Yeah, you know.
That was like me.
I mean, I feel like most of them probably do.
Are you like assuming Christmas, their religion?
I feel like Christmas.
Are you assuming my gender?
Well, I mean, Katana, you know, ain't going to be celebrating Christmas.
I mean, not the religious part of it, probably for most of them. But I think Christmas is a universal holiday, and a lot of people.
Well, then, what the fuck kind of question is this? If we're going to debate who celebrates Christmas in their Christian views,
I don't know, man. I mean, like,
Doctor Strange probably doesn't. He's like. Well, Santa's from the fourth dimension of whatever.
He celebrates Christmas.
Jesus is an interdimensional being from a cosmic...
If he exists, then there's a Christmas, all right?
Yeah. No, I think, Bruce Wayne,
he probably hates Christmas because he probably just thinks of all the times he had with his parents, and he's like, "Remember when my dad bought me that bicycle?" And
right, so like you wouldn't want to get him like a picture frame.
He doesn't,
you
know?
Slots, you know, because he'd be like, "Fuck, I can't even fill this thing up." Man.
Bruce Wayne's family Christmas photo every year is just him with his parents' grave. Just him out next to his parents' plots.
Oh, man.
It's terrible, dude.
Naked wrestling segment's really gone south pretty
and
quick.
And then it says Photocred Alfred. Alfred walks him out to the plots every year Christmas photo.
It's terrible.
And that's like the card he sends all his friends.
Yeah, he sends it to fucking
you get the Christmas card with the photo.
Aquaman and Superman are like, "Oh, bro, did you get Bruce's Christmas photo again?"
God, it's the same every year.
Oh man, it's so
Bruce
depressing.
And two tombstones. Oh my god,
I want that to be a thing now.
So what gifts did you put on your Christmas list for your superhero friends?
Well, not really a big secret is my favorite superhero is Colossus. So I'm going to give him some, a nice jar of metal polish and a nice, Christmas sweater. Cause I think he's probably he's going to get a little cold. He's made out of metal and he has no sleeves.
He's Russian, so he probably celebrates Christmas, Kurt, in case you were wondering.
Duh, comrade.
Yeah, that's Eastern Orthodox, man.
Oh, yeah. He's probably got
I don't know. They fucking celebrate Christmas.
Yeah, well, I know, but I think it's theirs on a different calendar.
Oh, he celebrates shit. Babushka with something else. I don't know.
I'm making this up, dude. I don't know what I'm talking about. They celebrate Babushka.
I don't know.
With borscht.
Yeah. I'm going to give him some polish just so he looks pretty. And then
are you going to polish him?
Nice? Polish him up?
Are you going to polish him?
Oh, yeah.
You're going to polish his...
polish every knob.
This is terrible.
Sorry.
No, this is good. This is good.
Anyways.
Getting like a rotary polisher?
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to give him a sweater after you polish him up?
Buff out all those scratches.
I hope I'm on your Christmas list, man.
Oh, yeah.
Get me some polish.
This is terrible. I'm uncomfortable now. I don't want to be here. I don't live on this planet anymore.
Well, what did you guys decide on?
Well, who's going?
Well, this is the no-brainer. I'm getting Wonder Woman some lingerie.
Yeah.
She wouldn't take kindly to that.
Does she wear
it,
though?
I don't care. I just want to imagine her wearing whatever.
Wait, which
I
version?
Give her the new one, Gal Gadot.
Gal Gadot version.
Yeah, they're Linda Carter, dude. What, man, I'm cool with that. Too.
If you watch, what's that? Keeping Up with the Joneses. You see Gal Gadot in lingerie.
Oh, do you really?
Well, I saw the trailer. I didn't watch the movie, but the trailer showed her, and I was like,
spoiler alert!
I've never seen anything so perfect.
No, I'm just kidding,
dude. Wonder Woman is hot. I'm sorry. I mean, yeah, I'm a married man, but my God.
Nah, she is.
If you, I mean, wouldn't you? And then I'm probably going to get, you know, maybe a...
I'd start a world war just to meet her.
She's a very pretty
I don't
woman.
Know. I made the reference to the movie.
Well, doesn't Gal Gadot have a background in modeling or...
Yeah, she's a model.
She's also like she's also 2 married. Years in the Israeli military.
Yeah, kill I mean, us. She's a mix, which is nice.
And she's married, unfortunately.
And she's pregnant.
What?
Yeah, is she really?
Sorry, guys.
No, you just ruined my present.
Mm. Yeah. I should get her a baby.
Hey,
Bjorn.
She's not that far along yet.
You know, I'm gonna get her some polish.
Oh, okay. Polish her shield.
Oh yeah. Yep.
They'd give up on your life when you find out.
You know what would be a bitch to buy for? Would be Tony Stark.
Oh, I know.
What a pain in the ass that guy would be to buy a gift for.
He would just buy stuff for you.
You know, he would fucking hate it too. You know, you'd get it for him and he'd be like, yeah, thanks. And then you'd throw it in the trash.
You'd just get him beer.
He'd give you a generic, like, thank you card.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yep. Towels. He'd send you towels. I'm pretty sure, man. You'd get monogrammed towels with the wrong initials on them.
Yeah.
From Tony Stark.
I don't know. Consider maybe he'd give me an Iron Man suit. He gives them out to all his friends.
That's true. He probably he'd probably give you something cool techie.
He'd give you a car or something.
He'd send you a Christmas card, but it would be like a hologram Christmas card. And you'd be like, oh my God, this is so cool.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. So what do you buy in your superhero there, Milo?
Well, Zatanna is getting a...
lingerie.
No, actually, you know what? I'm going to go the classic route and say I'd get her a new hat because then it would lead to me seeing some lingerie. I don't know
what?
Why. I feel like the hat is important.
Why would Zatanna want a hat?
She's already got one.
She a new one, though. A cool one. Like a slash version.
Why am I not picturing Zatanna in a hat?
She has a top hat.
She's got like a magician's hat.
Oh, okay. Okay, I got it. Yep.
Yeah, like a nice one.
I'm thinking weird. Of the
or maybe the, a corset. Maybe a new corset.
Justice League Dark version of her. I think is what I'm thinking.
You guys picked like the pervy ones. I'm like, I'll buff out Colossus.
Well, I think Zatanna's not a secret of
this
mine.
This is a man show. Yeah. So hey,
yeah, that's true.
Well, hey, I'll buff out those scratches
if you know what I mean.
I think Zatanna be. I mean, she's. I just get her something that she could wear because she's fucking magic. She'll just talk backwards and get whatever she wants. So it doesn't matter. I mean, what I would. I think. Fuck. Now I'm thinking about it. I'd be like, anything I get would be kind of shitty because
she can just make you know whatever she wants appear out of nowhere.
Yeah. So I guess I'll just get her some metal
really
polish.
Tough to buy for. Yeah.
I guess I'll just get her some polish. Polish her up.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm just gonna go to Jeff's Christmas party and we'll both buff out those scratches.
Fellas, if you're looking for a gift to get her in the mood, try polish.
I'm seeing a trend here because I was thinking, you know, if I had to get something from like Nebula,
some polish. You can do everybody. Iron Man, polish.
Actually, he could use.
Everyone's getting turtle wax this year, man.
Yeah.
No, I was going to say Captain America, polish.
Polish his shield. Winter Soldier, polish.
Black Panther,
polish.
I guess, yeah, he could use it too. Well, Black Widow.
I can think of some polishing.
Oh, yeah.
She's got latex.
That's true. Could use the polish to squeeze into it.
What
you need to like with latex, you need to like grease up everything in order to like skin tight.
This is very good advice, yeah, for sure.
I mean, don't ask me how I know. I do some alternative lifestyle on the side. That's not true. In case you're listening, Colossus.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Okay. I think so,
We pretty much covered it.
Beat that one to death.
I think we just kind of went into that one was just all... After polishing up Colossus' knob...
Polish got us off on the wrong track.
Nothing I said would have been funny anymore.
Yeah. Well, fuck. Thank you all for joining us for another episode of Naked Wrestling on the Tiny Table 3 podcast. Yeah. Everyone's getting turtle wax this year, so...
Wax it up.
Watch your mail.
Polish those knobs.
And a Batman postcard with him between two graves.
Yeah,
that's what everyone's getting this year.
Look for that.
The sad Batman from the memes.
Yeah. Sad Batman. Sad, oh my God. Sad Batfleck.
Okay, let's move on to weekly wrap up for our Christmas special.
Woo!
I haven't watched any of the stuff you guys watch, so I'm just going to talk shit on it without having any knowledge.
Oh, that's okay. You do that anyways.
Just don't be dick.
I'm always a dick.
Well, we did have some pretty great stuff go on.
No, I don't think so. I don't know what we're talking about yet.
Dude, like, this is some of the best superhero TV in recent years.
Fuck, dude. I sat through like two episodes of that shit. I can't do it.
We live in a golden age of superhero TV, ladies and gentlemen.
I totally agree with that.
We've got all the Netflix shows. We've got the CW, which is just rocking it. We've got, I mean, say what you want about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but Ghost Rider is pretty cool.
I did watch the finale of that. So
we got cool stuff on the horizon. So, but the big thing was the crossover.
The CW superhero crossover. I thought that was pretty great. So
you got Supergirl, you got Green Arrow, you got The Flash, you got all the Legends of Tomorrow characters, plus all their side characters coming together to fight aliens. I mean, what couldn't be cooler?
I thought they handled it really well. I'm sort of sporadic when it comes to the other shows. I kind of pick and choose what I want to watch. I'm a Flash fanatic. It's
really good.
It's good. And I was actually, you know, going into the beginning of the season, I thought some of the first episodes were pretty weak on the Flash.
It started off pretty weak.
But did it pick its shit up, man. What's the actor's name? Draco Malfoy?
Tom Felton.
Tom Felton. Great, man.
He's really come around. He brings a really cool element to that show.
You know, Felton, actually, I think, even though the beginning of the season was rather weak, I thought he carried it in a lot of ways. Yeah, he was just so good every time he was on screen. It was really cool to see them. We could talk about this, but I always thought it was kind of a mixed bag as far as how each of the crossover shows, you know, how strong they were.
Yeah.
But I thought the Supergirl one, which is more of an introduction one, was pretty great.
Mm-hmm. Supergirl has been impressing me lately. I'm pretty impressed by that.
I'm convinced. I'm going to go back and watch them all. Shush. I thought the Flash episode was okay.
Yeah, it's still kind of more set up.
Yeah, well, not bad.
Yeah,
but man, did the Arrow one rock
it. Oh yeah, that was cool.
Did you have a favorite of the three? Well, I mean, actually, it's four, right? So it's Supergirl, Flash, Arrow, and Legends of Tomorrow. So those were the four shows.
I'm a sucker for a big conclusion, so I'm going to go with the Legends of Tomorrow one, just because I liked how everything kind of wrapped up. But
I definitely thought that was the most action packed of the bunch.
Yeah, I just liked the conclusion of it all and how they tried to wrap everything up, because I was kind of worried about how they were going to tie the alien story in with the universe, since they haven't really touched aliens except for Supergirl, which is a new addition to the lineup. So, I'm going to go with the Legends one, but the Arrow one was really cool.
Yeah, I really liked how they worked in the way that they had been abducted, ones that were the non-meta.
So the non-meta humans got taken up to the spaceship and were like in a weird dream state.
Oh, come on.
But dude, they were living like alternate lives where, you know, everything was okay. And
where they never became superheroes and stuff. It was really cool, dude.
I didn't watch it. I'm just talking shit about it. I don't even know.
And they brought back a bunch of characters who killed off and stuff. So they got a little nod to that, which was cool. I liked it.
All right, you guys can...
But then we had... So that was the crossover event, and then just recently we got our winter finales, so our mid-season finales, which I haven't... Honestly, I'll admittedly say that I haven't caught up on all of them, but The Flash was, for me, really impressive.
I thought The Flash was really strong.
Yeah.
I mean... Alchemy, it was... It was a great bad guy.
It was a great reveal, considering, because, you know, from day one, I was like,
spoilers,
okay,
by the way.
Yeah. Sorry, spoilers, folks. If you haven't caught up, you might want to turn this, mute this section of the show. But for me, the second they casted Tom Felton, the AKA Draco Malfoy, in the show, I'm like, okay, he's a villain. He's a villain. I know it. And then, you know, I looked into the story of Alchemy, who was the, you know, introduced as the new bad guy. And he's got, you know, roots with the Philosopher's Stone, which tie back to Harry Potter.
Man, that was great. Like,
okay, so
that was great.
So I'm assuming Draco Malfoy, dude, is Alchemy. And it ends up being the case, but they put a cool spin on it. And he doesn't, he's not really the bad guy you thought he was going to be. He doesn't, he's not really a bad guy. He doesn't really...
Yeah, he doesn't know what he's doing.
He's basically possessed right, by yep. Savitar, who is the god of speed and who has just been... Oh, for lack of a better term, he's friggin' raping brutal, the speedsters.
Brutal, man. I mean, what a great evil bad guy. Just kick ass, too.
He kicks the Flash's ass. He kicks Jay Garrick's ass.
He kicks his, that Jay Garrick one, man.
Oh, my God.
He was just fucking him up, man.
Jay Garrick took the hardest beating on that show I think I've ever seen, and it was so cool. And, man, I'm really... And digging this.
But, I mean, if you haven't get a chance to see the Winter... I guess the Christmas special or show kind of how there's somebody to see they do every series does this. They have their Christmas episode, but the Flash always does this. You have these moments of really serious storytelling filled in with this really emo like love song.
So
it's kind of like
people
are just almost got murdered, and it's like, well, you know, you haven't really been
Merry,
we haven't been hugging
Merry
enough
Christmas
lately.
Babe
it just cracks me up. But I mean that is the tone of the Flash anyways. It does weave between these like moments of complete like and violent you I know think, scary to I love you so much papa.
I think that's also why the Flash in my opinion, I think in most people's opinion, why The Flash is the best of the CW shows, because that soap opera-esque vibe, it kind of works
agree.
Best with that character. And and his comics are very, they have their moments where with him and Iris and stuff. So I think that it works better for The Flash. It doesn't work on Green Arrow for me. I like that this season they haven't had a lot of, love interest-y stuff going on, just because I don't think Oliver Queen doesn't need a love interest. So... or if they did, I would like it to be with Black Canary because she's his love interest in the comics. But
right.
Whatever. I think The Flash is really hitting the, again, back hitting its stride.
I agree.
Pardon the pun.
I agree. It was great to see. I mean, the crossover. What a cool idea, too, man. It was like night after night. It was just boom, 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 boom. Really great to watch the way that story developed like that.
And then to go straight into the finale, which was really impressive.
Yeah. Very happy with it. So what else we had going on this week?
We had all of our trailers hit.
Those are on the YouTube.
Which, if
channel.
You want to see our, yeah.
In case you're wondering, this is Milo. I've been incredibly silent because I don't watch CW shows.
Welcome back, Milo.
Yeah, hey, what's up, man? I just walked into this podcast.
He was
over
there apparently polishing someone's shield. I think that's what he was doing.
He went and polished
the polishing
knob.
A knob.
But I mean, we can at least mention that there were a lot of trailers fucking dropped this week.
Yeah, dude.
Check out our YouTube channel for our trailer reactions, but. The new Spider-Man Homecoming.
Spider-Man looks great.
Looks fantastic.
War of the Planet of the Apes looks great.
Man.
The Mummy.
Good.
The Mummy looks
Mummy
like,
was the other big one.
Okay, that movie looks like a giant piece of shit. And
I don't know. It's Tom Cruise, man. I think it'll come through.
Yeah, Tom Cruise is a nut job, but he can't act.
He makes good movies.
So I did some digging into the background of it, and they're trying to do... a modern day shared universe of monster movies.
So which Universal Monsters.
Universal needs to hold, they need to make a movie every so often to hold rights.
And in the randomly in the middle of the trailer, you got fucking Russell Crowe, who I did some more digging, and he's Dr. Jekyll.
He is, yep.
And I'm like, are you kidding me, dude? They're throwing Dr. Jekyll into the Mummy movie, and he's just a random like professor or some shit.
Well, Dr. Jekyll is a random professor.
Well, okay, yeah, but
no, there's more to it than that.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah.
But I mean, he fits the role that they're placing him in.
No, I mean, I like Russell Crowe.
I like Russell Crowe.
Maybe they're leading up to a League of Extraordinary Gentlemen part two.
Well, here, oh my God. That's so bad.
I like that first one.
Don't even.
Yes, I do.
Try to, don't even.
To me, though, like, out. there's got to be a twist or something, because the mummy character is like this scantily clad woman.
Yeah, that's all that.
And oh, like, you anti-woman or what?
Well, no. Like, to me, I'm not going to...
I'm getting the mummy lingerie rooting, for Christmas, by the way.
I'm not going to be rooting for that character to team up with Frankenstein. Like, oh, I can't wait to see this sexy woman like fight Frankenstein.
I will
like,
say that Imhotep was a great villain.
Yeah, no, no, I know the mummy, the Brendan Fraser mummy is
they are what
a
they are.
Blast.
They're good. Yeah,
those are a lot of fun.
The third one's kind of
no, the third one's crap. But the
first two are all right.
First one's great. Second one's
yeah.
That's typically the way it goes.
Yeah,
but here's my issue though. I mean, the Universal monsters are all based on classic monster literature.
Yeah,
no, their original idea is created by Universal.
Well, and to me, they should be based in a period setting.
Well,
it is a period.
I agree.
Modern period.
But when's the last time we saw a decent Frankenstein movie or a decent Dracula? Oh, yeah.
Have you ever seen Van Helsing?
Dude,
greatest,
oh my God.
Greatest
I love Van Helsing, dude. I'm sorry.
So, so horrible. Come on. Come on, people.
Oh, man. I'm so coffee today.
I love Van Helsing.
Don't even.
That's my guilty pleasure.
Dude, do the, what's the one, the voice?
So Frankenstein gets brought into the room. He's like, you shall take me. He's like, I love how the Frankenstein is like some like really smart
British
like,
guy.
British guy. Oh, I love it, dude.
Oh,
he's like,
so
you
bad.
Heathens, let me go.
Like, the best part is when he's all like, friend.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay. Yeah. If you want to see classic, very good classic.
Then you need to watch Van Helsing. No.
Watch Penny kidding. Dreadful. Go back and watch the
season.
Yeah,
Penny Dreadful's
Dreadful.
Good.
They do a decent job with them. But no, I would say, I mean, other than, I mean, I like
Dr. Jekyll's in Van Helsing, too, by the way, guys.
Yes, he is.
He is. He's in the beginning.
He fights him at the Notre Dame.
I like the, the 1992 Dracula. Other than Keanu Reeves.
Dracula?
Oh, yeah. Bram Stoker.
Yeah, Bram Stoker's Dracula. Barely know her. Coppola, I believe, directed that. Was it Coppola?
Was it?
I thought that was the last decent thing he did. It may not have been. Maybe I have to Google that. But
with Gary Oldman?
But Gary Oldman, yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah. I thought that was the last time I seen a decent vampire film. Yeah. I didn't even like Del Toro's Strain on TV, which, you know, is saying a lot, but that was pretty crappy.
I watched the first few episodes and then it just.
So I'm skeptical. I'm skeptical.
Yeah,
the mummy trailer didn't really look like it was anything that captured my attention. So
yeah. It's just a waste of.
Well, I mean, they got to make a movie every so often to hold on to the rights.
I know, but
stuff,
they should
man.
Do it right, man, because it would be great to see them pick that.
Doing it right requires work, and Hollywood doesn't really work anymore.
Well,
okay?
Jose, good news for you is that Johnny Depp is going to be the Invisible Man. So
really?
Yes.
Is he really?
Yeah, he
what
is.
What a waste
Why
of a good looking man.
He is in everything.
I knew that was going to piss you off.
Just, I mean, he can
You're mad because he's in everything? Is that your problem?
Yeah, and he acts like the same character in like lately. Okay, first off, so Johnny Depp has not been a different character ever since he stepped into the realm of Jack Sparrow. Is all I'm saying.
So we
watch every movie, he's Jack Sparrow in some form.
So we have Russell Crowe's Dr. Jekyll. We've got Tom Cruise in The Mummy. He's not the mummy, but he's in The Mummy. And we got Johnny Depp as an Invisible Man. I mean,
pretty good cast.
Yeah,
I mean,
so they're paying
Johnny
some money
Depp's
for
in this movie too.
Not in the movie, no, but he's not. In the universe. Oh. He's confirmed.
Well, then the Wolfman should be Benicio del Toro again.
I agree.
That was a great movie.
That.
I like that movie. Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah,
and, that was great.
I like that one actually.
You know,
that
Emily Blunt.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I'm okay with that.
I like that movie.
See, that movie was like violent.
Very underrated.
It was also original, Wolfman style.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think that's
pretty
good for the week anyway.
That's
a
pretty good wrap up.
I'm just going to mention really quickly, and please tell me, one of you guys, please tell me that you watched Westworld.
I did.
You did?
I have good news. Yes, I actually watched all of it.
I
will probably disappoint you with what I thought of the show, but I like it to an extent, but there are things that I would change. But I mean,
well, I'm doing this is our Write Game segment, so I'm
going to
talk a little bit about writing and with the focus being on Westworld and primarily AI. And because they're developing a lot of stories along this artificial intelligence thing for, I don't know why all of a sudden we're seeing all these pop up again, but they're quality.
Yeah.
And I obviously Westworld just had their finale and they just started the Humans series again, which is produced by AMC and a British Channel 4. So, and Humans is brilliant.
I've never seen that one.
It's available on Amazon Prime, so I definitely can recommend it. So what everyone was talking about Westworld, and there's so many things going on in HBO's Westworld. It's based on a Michael Crichton screenplay and film that was shot in 1973, which was fairly lighthearted to a degree about this, you know, artificial world that's created, basically an adult amusement park where you get to go shoot and have sex with robots. That's essentially it.
I mean, he basically created the construct, the foundation of the HBO, you know. They
J.J. Abrams develops it. Jonathan Nolan and his wife are writing the screenplays with different directors also and writers, but those are the main actors and an amazing cast. So, wow, man, I loved it. I thought Westworld was the best thing on TV last year. With some issues,
yeah.
But there was a lot going on in it, to say the least.
I'm a little bit my opinion sways because it was one of those shows that I would knock out all my other shows and then put that on, and I was just like so drained and exhausted by the end, and I was like, I did like that the big payoff at the end with the man in black and all that. I liked.
Yeah,
how they wrapped that up.
Thematically, the show is dealing, obviously, with, the tried and true question of consciousness and artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. You know, at what point can you create a machine that can feel and think? I think Humans, the British series, actually delves more deeply into the aspect of robots feeling, which I thought was fascinating.
Yeah.
I kind of recommend it more. But with Westworld, what they're doing, they're playing with some kind of pop psychology. This idea of the bicameral mind, which is loosely kind of based on an idea. It's loosely Freudian. You know, this idea of a unconsciousness. So even though these robots are being erased,
like rebooted, and yeah,
right. So but they still have they can't completely get rid of their memories. So they're still acting on. Thoughts, I guess you would say,
yeah.
or shadow memories or unconsciousness that exists, even though their conscious life has been erased, they can hold, you know, vendettas and have memories that connect them with other mm-hmm. robots to a certain extent. So they're playing around with that. And I thought it was pretty successful. What is interesting, because the big reveal in the finale is that you have this character, the man in black, that runs all the way through it.
Mm-hmm.
Bill is the character. And the issue is, the thing that throws everyone off is because the robots themselves, they're called the hosts, they don't experience memories like we do. So, which I think was a really interesting approach for, and not surprising because it's Jonathan mm-hmm. freaking Nolan.
Yeah.
You know, everything's, you know, fucking Inception.
Yeah.
it's all puzzle, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, they have this, you know, I thought that the puzzle thing, the maze was a little bit heavy handed.
Yeah.
This idea they had to get to the center of the maze, which where you'd find, you basically find your face to face with yourself. So your unconscious yeah. life. The idea was that they're playing with this idea of, like, you know, at what point do you have free will? You know, are you really making decisions on your own? And they're kind of really shoving it at this idea that even humans don't even really act on their own. You know, they're sort of driven by their own unconscious,
pre-programmed and
right. Yeah. So robots, because the memories are always there, they don't experience reality in the way that, you know, our memories are in our past. The hosts or robots' memories are constant; they're always present. So if you're watching the show, you feel like, spoiler alert, you're dealing with a linear narrative. So there's a plot line running that you perceive to be now.
But it's not.
But it's not, which is problematic because these hosts, they're experiencing all their time, all their life, their entire life all at once. It never disappears because it's the way memory works. So you have a character that you think is, you know, from 30 years ago, and you've actually watched another character, you think it's another character anyways, go through the whole fucking series, you know, all the episodes.
You're introduced to him in the first or second episode, and then he's just...
Yeah, and
you
then,
think he's going on this big journey, but it's actually backstory.
Yeah, yeah. You basically get the entire backstory through a plot that you think you're.
Then you're wondering who this other character is the whole time, because they're playing it like, again, you think it's a linear story. So you're like, yeah. Well, you've got this guy, and then you've got this other weird guy over here, and we don't know what he's doing. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, that was the younger version of him.
Yes. Yep. Beautifully done. I thought that was great.
That was cool. I loved that part. But like I said, I got pretty worn out on a lot of that.
It's a bit exhausting.
And for me,
it's violent as hell.
With HBO, they have shows that are literally like an hour and 10 minutes long. And with, you know, with network TV, it's only 40 minutes. So they have to pack a lot more in a shorter amount of time, or I guess the opposite way. But, with Game of Thrones and stuff, they change it up a lot with like different lands and different characters and stuff like that. And with Westworld, for me, I just got like, I was like an hour in, I was like, oh man, I'm like, where are they going to go with this? And then they would have a cliffhanger and I'm like, oh God, I got to come back next week and watch another hour of this guy. And like, so I don't know.
Yeah, you know, and it's,
I just got kind of burnt out.
It's certainly in, it is a puzzle. I mean, it's not like casual viewing type of material.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there are other things going on. I mean, there's, you know, Arnold, who's sort of a constant presence, which is, one of these creators, inventors, the originators of the park, who is dead. You know, he's gone, but he's referenced throughout the whole, mm-hmm. you know, the whole series. And you're trying to figure out who, you know, what happened to Arnold. And you know, it comes to light that, you know, Arnold had realized that these machines were alive, they were feeling, so he had to stop the park because the robots would be raped and murdered basically their entire existence, and they would be aware of it.
They'd be remembering it. Yeah,
they'd be feeling it. And so he tried to kill off the park, and because of that, he was, you know, eliminated himself. And you think the main character, played by Anthony Hopkins, who is fucking brilliant, man. God, he's so good in this. You think that he's basically, you think he's against this whole, you know, revelation of the machine's thinking, becoming real and alive. Mm-hmm. And then you realize at the end, no, you have to have that he wanted to give, he was wrong with stopping Arnold, and he wants the machines to take mm-hmm. over. And he has to have this, one of the oldest machines from the first to develop, you know, true consciousness, you know, again, spoiler alert, everybody, too late, to take him out, to be the pivotal moment where she really lives. And there's that moment, man, where it's, you know, it's freaking Ed Harris, you know, playing the man in black, he's like constantly looking for that center of the maze, which it seems that he wants to see the machines really become alive. That's the excitement he wants. Mm-hmm. He wants something spontaneous, not scripted, something real. And at the finale, you get these hosts come out of the woods, and they start killing, you know, the staffers, you know, the people there. And he gets shot, and his reaction is this just brilliant smile.
Yeah.
Like, fuck yeah, this is what I wanted. You know, he's probably going to die, but that's what he was looking for. He wanted to see this place live, you know, this place that he, as you get from the storyline of the younger Man in Black, is that he wanted so bad for Dolores, the female host, to be alive.
Yeah.
And she never was. He kept going back and back over 30 years, and she was never really alive.
He wanted her to be human.
Yeah. And it's that realization when the machines fight back that he gets what he wanted. He realized that these machines are now, they're acting with agency. They're conscious. And that's brilliant writing. It's what I think Jonathan Nolan's an amazing writer. Sometimes he gets too convoluted, and there's certainly moments in Westworld where you're like, Jesus, you could have done this a lot easier, you know, than this.
Yeah, there were my issues, but I do end up thinking, I mean, in the end, I thought that the acting and the writing were both pretty great.
Yeah, and there
it just,
are some,
it just dragged for me in a couple
some
spots.
Big plot holes. Primarily the one that kept coming back to me in Killer Keen was the humans, the employees that are helping. You know, why the fuck would they keep helping? You know, with why not just, you know, they have every chance to go off and turn her in, you know, the host that was manipulating them.
Yeah.
And they could have fixed that with, you know, a little bit more engagement.
She was for me like my least favorite part. I just always found myself like frustrated and annoyed by that character.
Yeah, and I thought it was wonderful because there's the reveal where you think she thinks even that she's acting independently and with thought, and then you know. It's revealed that you've been programmed to do all this shit. Yep. You've been set up. You know, she thought she was, you know, conscious, and nope, she just programmed it. And when you look at the screen and you can see as she speaks, all her actions are like listed, you know, everything that she does is already there, which again is the play on whether or not, I mean, certainly the machines are scripted, but you know, maybe we are too, you know, humans are just as scripted as anyone else. Mm-hmm. But, I thought it was brilliant. I am stoked that it's got a second season. It's going to be coming back.
I'm curious how that's going to turn out.
They did little talks afterwards, and Jonathan Nolan and Joy. What's her first name? His wife, I forget, but
I can't remember.
But they are already talking about like how it was defined about this, you know, search for the center of consciousness and maintenance of order. That season two is going to be about chaos.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
So
maybe I'll like that better.
Yeah. And you know, and again, I didn't
less puzzles, more violence.
Yeah. Dude, you wanted more violence?
Oh, well, man. I like the violence, but I just was like, I'd get some violence, which is what I wanted, and then I'd be like, all right, now I gotta like put my thinking cap back on here and listen to this character ramble for 15 minutes, and you know, I don't know.
Wow.
It was like too long. Maybe I'm getting too into the CW shows. I'm like, I just want to see fighting and then a couple minutes of dialogue. And
well, then you were watching the wrong show, my friend. Yeah. That was, I don't know. It was a lot more.
I gave it a try.
And I would probably skip Humans. Humans is slower, but I thought there's more deep character development in Humans. I would say, Gemma Chan, who plays Mia, she plays the synth that is purchased by a family, and I mean, Humans really does a good job of looking at realistically if these AI synths were introduced into our world, like a world that we recognize, not like a West world, but mm-hmm. It was household products, but machines that you could, you know, have relationships with, that could take care of your kids, you could, you know, have sex with if you initiate the adult content on them, on them. And the complications that gives to relationships within families and, you know, and marriages and all the jealousy between being replaced by machines, that's all built in there. But they really do a great job with this because they obviously, it makes me think that, man, did Westworld rip these guys off? There's a really nice interplay with the robots becoming, again, there's the robots that have, there's a few that have been created. Again, a group of two creators, I think there's two, where one of them had created life. Right. One's like, there's only a few of them. I think maybe there's more, but it's only like five or six or something like that. And they're conscious and they feel themselves as being like family and they're very protective of each other. Hmm. And humans are trying to hunt them down. There's a group that have escaped and they're trying to hunt them down. So you're very sympathetic towards them.
That's interesting.
It's really interesting because they're like, they're on this, on the run, and there's like a family that like takes them in and protects them. You know, even though typically they're afraid of humans, so they don't trust them necessarily. And they have another like synth that was basically put into like a house of prostitution. So she was continuously raped. So she hates human beings. But then she finds like another human that shows her kindness. And so you could kind of see her like struggling with like, well, maybe they're not all bad. Or when she's like, I could just fucking kill you. But, you know, can't because I really do. You care. I'm not just a machine. I would highly recommend if you thought that Westworld was too slow, don't watch Humans because it's pretty slow. But I thought it was a
lot. I guess I just thought that Westworld could have been like a 4-part miniseries instead of a 10-episode like dragged out thing.
Man, but boy, did they spend money on that thing. It looks great.
Oh, they did. Yeah.
Okay. So that's my bit of the ride game. Again, another I think a bit of brilliant of writing for both shows, Humans, Westworld. And again, I don't think either of those shows would be anyone's, not everyone's cup of tea. Cause I mean, certainly Westworld is not going to be for everybody. I know, and I don't want to be, but, a couple people that I know that just didn't get it. They just couldn't.
I can see it.
Just there was just too much going on for them. Just I didn't know what the fuck was going on.
I mean, I admit I liked the first episode, but I really had to force myself to watch some of those because I was like, okay, I really got to think about this, and I don't know if I want to do that tonight. You know.
Okay, let's do some Westerworld. Yeah,
let's get
quick nerd advice.
Let's get on to mediocre advice from a decent human being.
Obviously, Cloud is out for the next. I don't think we can call it that. Because I know that's Claudia's segment.
We have a substitute today.
So we have decent advice. We have shitty advice from a not so great guy.
Yeah. Hi guys. Come on in. Let me tell you a story.
Cloud will be back in about a month or so. But and Jeff is our permanent TT3 or so. He's going to be around quite a bit. So get fucking used to it.
Y'all best get used to it. Yeah. I'll try not to drag this one out, but
we nerds need advice, dude. We got to keep this thing hot.
No, I think that with a problem with the nerd community, and we'll kind of break it down a little bit, but and I'm totally guilty of this, is trying to like one up each other. Like, oh, I know more about you, or actually, you're wrong. This is actually what happened. And you know, for me, it's comic books. Anyone who asks me something about a comic book hero or something, I'm like, oh, you know, actually, in the 70s, he didn't really do that. And someone recently called me out on it, and they're like, you know, you kind of sound pretentious or like kind of a douche when you call me out on that stuff. And I'm like, I don't mean to sound like that. I mean to be corrective and I mean to be like informative, but I guess it's the way in which we do that. And I think a lot of nerds do it, and I've kind of focused on myself, and I've noticed it with other people. And it could be anything. It could be sports. It could be, you know, anything that you could be really passionate about.
I never and do I any of that, bro.
Oh, sure. Oh, sure you don't.
Dude,
I'm well aware that I'm a fucking asshole.
I think there's a more respectful way to go about it.
Okay, let's shoot around real quick and we're nerds, right? So we all have our area where we think we're fucking
the shit.
We are. We know you're wrong because we know. And I know I do it with writing. And boy, do people get mad at me when I start picking apart. It doesn't matter whether it's a book or if it's a movie, especially if it's a movie. God, people get pissed when I start picking apart a story in a movie. But sometimes I need to just roll it back because sometimes people just want to enjoy the fucking movie. So yeah. what's your area of your opinion?
Well, for me, I mean, comic books and superheroes are definitely one where people come to me and they ask me questions and stuff, and I'm like,
you asked that question, right? That's what you feel inside. That's right, bitch.
Oh, I see you come to me for advice. But no, like, they'll ask me questions about, like, oh, hey, I just went and saw Guardians. Like, who was that character? Blah, 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 blah. Was it this guy? And I'm like, oh, actually, it was this guy. And you're wrong. He didn't actually do that. And blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, afterwards, I'm like, oh, man, I kind of sounded like a dick. I didn't mean to, but I just come off that way. And it's something when you're passionate about something or when you just, you do know, you know, a decent amount about. You do have to just kind of watch the way you spit it back out, you know. And so I think that there's a more tactful way to go about it, and just being more self aware of how you might be being perceived.
I know because I know for Milo it's Star Wars. I just know
Star Wars and music.
Yeah, well, music, he's so focused on one thing in music, so it doesn't really count. But
that's true.
No, I mean, the Star Wars, the stuff that comes out of your mouth when it comes to Star Wars. And I know you're like, when we start talking, I know when I say something about Star Wars, I know you're freaking secretly rolling your eyes at me.
I don't think I'm ever that bad.
I think everybody has their thing that they do that with, too.
Honestly, I was going to ask you guys, because I'm not really sure when I do it. I'm not really aware of that stuff. I don't think music. I'm never really that bad anymore. I've opened up.
I guarantee about it. You guys, if all of you guys listening at home and stuff too, you'll probably point it out now. It'll kind of hopefully you'll kind of be a little bit more self-aware of that and maybe catch yourself every now and then going, oh, there I am. I'm doing it. You know, But it's the ability to kind of acknowledge that and maybe dial it back a little bit, or be like, hey, oh yeah, yeah, good question. You know, I think this is how it happened. And, you know, you kind of have to put it a little bit more delicately.
I've noticed I started doing it with food.
Food,
because I've delved into it more. And now,
yeah,
like,
I'm pretty bad with food.
I've
too,
known
actually.
Some stuff now. And like, when people serve me frozen shit and stuff like that, I'm like, I turn into Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah,
like,
I do that. I do that with cooking too.
Fuck. And like, yeah, I've noticed that, and I need to be a little bit more like forgiving. I'm not a world class chef, so I don't have.
Well,
shit
I think a lot
say.
Of people do it with politics too.
That's different.
You know, present company. Okay.
Okay. I feel religion and politics don't count.
But no, I think that
no,
a lot of people do that.
To be honest, yeah. I mean, I might be pretty bad with stories, but politics is absolutely my worst. That's my trigger. That's just, I mean, I admit that. And I am completely out of control when it comes to that stuff.
Yep.
So
yeah, you are.
I totally agree with that. And it sucks too, because I do have, I mean, I have degrees, you know, that
well, and yeah,
and I think that empowers me to be a dick, and it's really not right.
The thing is, like, yeah, we do know, you know, nerds are nerds. We know a lot about something and we're passionate about it and we've done the studying. But it's the way in which we address it and the way we deal with people who don't know about it and how we convey that information to them in a non-confrontational and a non-demeaning
way. It's good to know. No matter what expert nerd area that you're, if you're a nerd, that's the term that means you know your shit. We know that. But you're not making any headway with anybody by being arrogant.
If you look at it from the other side, and I think we can all relate to this as well. If you're dealing with a guy, like for me, it's like anime. If there's a guy and I ask him an anime question he's like, actually, in Gundam 4, and I'm like, fuck, this guy is a nerd. and like, I immediately am like, oh shit, that's how I am, but with superheroes, or that's how I am with this. Like, the guy on the other end is like, fuck, this dude is way too involved. And so, like, the more you think about it, you know,
yeah.
Try to dial it back.
You know, that's kind of hard though, because I will, now I'm starting to kind of look at it. And yeah, sometimes with Star Wars, because I've read the books and fucking did all that whole
shit. The Sith holocron and shit.
Yeah, I have all this stuff. And I have...
Hell yeah.
Now I think about it and like, I am like, I understand though at the same time, because no one ever like asked me questions or anything, that when someone asked me about it, I want to share.
Yeah, because you're like, oh, someone's asking about my knowledge.
I've actually, at work, I have seen... The thing is, you can read social cues. So at work, somebody has asked me something, and then I'm like, okay, I need to stop right now, because I can already see their face starting to turn the other way. Like, not interested anymore. Well, so social cues are important as
I was
well.
Doing it earlier today at work. Somebody was like, did you see the new Spider-Man trailer? Who's that girl? I'm like, it's actually Liz Allen. She's the first girl in... And I was like, oh, shit, here we go. So, I mean, it's a thin line, too, because you want to let your nerd flag fly. Don't be ashamed to be a nerd about something, but I guess just consider how you're coming across.
Yeah.
So that's the end.
Absolutely. Very good. Very good advice. Advice we could all live by, which we probably won't, but we will try. Okay, everybody. Well, let's move into final words. Let's wrap it for our holiday man show at Tantil 3.
Final words.
Final words. I'll give you mine real quick.
Yeah, go for it.
Fucking Rogue One.
Oh yeah,
dude. We're like
next week.
Dude,
less than a week.
Oh my god. How excited are you guys for this? I'm
less
like
less than a week, because Thursday night, bro.
I'm going Thursday night. Got my tickets.
I am not going.
Thursday night, bitches.
I don't know what I'm doing. What the fuck is happening?
Am I being a nerd? I'm totally like being a dick now.
I got a thing I got to do Thursday, so I'm not going to go. I already know what happens,
so,
bro.
You suck.
I already know what happens.
You going Friday?
I don't think so.
You suck.
Dude, how are you not going like the first day?
Dude, I got... Okay, first off, I got a lot of shit.
No, I don't want to hear about your life. I want you, we're talking Star Wars here.
I don't remember what's happening Friday, but I think I got something going on.
Well, don't check Facebook.
I already know what happens. It's not going to spoil much. I'll probably go Friday, to be honest.
I'm going to text you and be like, bro, that scene where Darth Vader confronted Darth Maul in the end and... Dude, you're just going to be like, dude, shut up.
Any other final words from you guys?
Final words.
Anything different other than
Rogue One? Don't spoil Rogue One.
There you go.
No spoilers. invest in polish.
Yes.
That's my final words.
Yeah. Every guy likes a polished knob.
Yeah. Yep.
You never know when a little bit of polish is going to come in handy.
Yep. Everybody, send me your turtle wax.
Prefer Armor All.
Yeah. Oh, I've got a parting joke for you guys.
Parting joke. Here we go.
Okay.
Ha. How did...
Well, you got to get through it.
Okay.
Compose yourself. Here we go.
How did Luke Skywalker know what Darth Vader got him for Christmas?
Oh, I know this one. You can finish it, though.
He felt his presence.
Yeah, oh my God.
Oh, man.
I didn't think about it because Star Wars is not a joke.
Okay, everybody. You guys have a great week. Make sure that you are checking out Tiny Table 3's YouTube channel. Make sure you're checking out our podcast on SoundCloud, Hear This, Stitcher, and iTunes. And subscribe to our YouTube channel. And hopefully we'll be quite more active on Instagram. And make sure you're also checking out our Facebook page for updates. So have a great week, everybody. Make sure you're checking out Rogue One. It's going to be a wonderful next week. Yeah. Presents, you get it?
Yeah, those
presents. Hey, how does Darth Vader like his burgers cooked? A little on the dark side.
Oh, God.
Hey, that's a winner. I like that one. Front to back. Face to face. Front to back. Never read that many, not a single one of school, but I enjoyed good one. Confessions.